Todopoderoso, ven. Almighty God, come. God, we ask that today you pour your spirit. For all the hurt and confusion and uncertainty that may be in this room today, God, we ask for a special anointing to understand and to love and to be understood. God, pour a spirit of peace over your church today. God, reorient us. Give us a new imagination to understand things that we do not yet understand. Help us, God, to be inspired by the big things and in the small things. Unite us, Lord, and be with us today. Amen. So like many in this room, perhaps, I'm in a season of transition, or what I like to call the I'm about to be season of my life. I'm not quite a father, but I'm about to be. I'm not quite a graduate of Duke University, but I'm about to be that too. That's good. It's all good. Those are great things. I'm not quite employed, but Lord willing, I'm about to be. All right. More than ever, I'm in the process of becoming something new. We are in the process of becoming something greater than ourselves. We're constantly in the process of becoming, of entering new seasons, of being formed in a way that is just outside our comprehension, beyond our expectations, and beyond our ability to fully understand what is going on. It's in this place where we experience a lot of anxiety, is it not? Who will I be? Where will I go? How will I afford that? Where is God in all these transitions? Transition. We're in the midst of a great transition. The text we find ourselves reflecting on today seems to be in a transition as well. Like us, the church moves back and forth between seasons. As we move from the season of Epiphany, a season where we rejoice in the reality that it wasn't just enough for God to stay up there, but that God had to come down and dwell among us. So that we, as we like to say at CityWell, can become a people who receive the ways of Jesus as our way of life. Jesus first had to be revealed to us in order that we can fully receive him. As we move from that season, Epiphany, so think of Epiphany over here. As we think of Epiphany, as we move from that season into next week, into the Lenten season, a season in which we begin to reflect as a church about the journey of the crucifixion and the resurrection wrapped up in Easter, right in the middle of those two things, we find ourselves today with our text. Listen as I read. This is from the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud, a voice said, this is my son, the beloved. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, get up and do not be afraid. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Life works like that sometimes, no? Just when you think you have things figured out, something else comes into your life to reorient your expectations. As was the case with Peter, through the power of the Spirit, just 15 verses before this text that I just read, Peter correctly identifies Jesus as not just some pious teacher, but rather as the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And just as Peter begins to wrap his mind around, whoa, this Jesus character is much more than we think, Jesus invites him on a journey to the top of a mountain to witness something that the world has never seen before. Jesus delights in revealing things to us that we do not yet know about the world and of ourselves. The good news for us this morning is that God cannot be pinned down. God cannot be pinned down. Let me say that one more time. God cannot be pinned down. That is good news. We serve a God that is beyond our expectations. We serve a God that cannot really be placed in a box, that is beckoning yet elusive at the same time, that invites us to the top of a mountain to reveal something we didn't know, but isn't content with just us sitting in that awareness. In seasons of our lives where we may be tempted, as Peter suggested, to build a shelter, to build a dwelling place, a nice little spot for God to rest in. Don't we do that a lot of times? We like to figure out God. We get maybe some divinity degrees or read a little bit, and we like to put God in a nice little pretty place. This is often at times a human tendency. God shows up and says, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." Listening requires a few things. It requires an openness, a vulnerability. It requires us to have the humility to say, maybe we're wrong. To listen well is to push back against the temptation to have a response before the other person is done speaking. Throughout my life, I have so desperately wanted to pitch a tent, put God in a box, and in my hurt and in my anxiety, I would often rationalize my choices. Has anyone else ever done that? I've always wanted to, in a sense, engage God on my own terms. You know, I remember when I was going to school to be a therapist, I would often rationalize my choice to be a mental health counselor by saying, "Listen, God, I know you want me to be a pastor, but I'm going to tell you what I'm about to do. It's too much work. It requires too much sacrifice. And this whole speaking in front of people, that isn't really my thing." God, I don't want to be pushed out of my comfort zone. I wanted to keep God in a box and not let God influence the entirety of my life, but rather a small portion. Deep down, I wanted a transfigured life, but I was too scared. Is anyone else like that? When met with a season of transition, you so desperately try to cling on to maybe what you excel at, what you enjoy, something you hold on to, even if it's unhealthy. I don't know about y'all, but I love to do unhealthy things when I'm scared or I'm afraid or I just don't have control of the next season. All my bad habits come out. When the fear and anxiety of the world begin to overwhelm you and like the disciples, you fall face down on your face. God invites us then to say, God says, "Get up. Don't be afraid. Let me touch you. Let me be with you. Let me walk alongside you." Today in the church, they often call it Transfiguration Sunday, where we reflect and meditate on the glory that is God. In the Transfiguration, God is saying that he loves us too much to be pinned down by our expectations, by our analysis, by our good intentions and our faith. God says, "I did not overcome the world by meeting your expectations." Come on now. that wasn't in the plan. Lord knows, as a recovering people pleaser, if I were to just go based on the expectations of people that care about me, I would not be here standing in front of you right now. That is for sure. Man, see, when I go in the spirit, I kind of get off my script and I go all over the place. Goodness. God invites us to live and experience a transfigured life, one marked by uncertainty, by the unknown, one that God says, I have prepared a place for you, and says, fear not, because my ways are not the ways of the world. I am bigger than your fears and pains, but I'm also alongside you in that process. I'm not going to leave you at the top of the mountain, but in order for you to go where I want you to go, you too must follow me. For you see, the truth is that God is actively challenging our expectations, actively moving beyond our imaginations. This could only be good news if we celebrate today at the top of the mountain the next part, which next week we begin to celebrate what? The resurrection. The completion of the transfiguration, ours and of God, is found within the resurrection. As we prepare our hearts and minds for Lent, we're invited this Sunday to be transformed, to be transfigured. But in order to do that, we must listen. We must let go of our expectations and commit our lives to a way of living that is uncertain. But knowing that the one we serve is beyond our analysis. And that frees us to look death right in the face and know that that isn't the end of the story. The challenge for us today, Citywell, is to let go of who we think God is and listen. Listen deeply to one another and to God. To hear God in the silence as Elijah did. To see God in the burning bush as Moses did. Or like the disciples, to see God on the top of a mountain. We are called to be transfigured people, to be transformed. Not by the virtue of any divinity degree or some learned education or some precise articulation of who God is. But rather, we're called to be completely undone, expectations and all, by the one who brought us to the mountaintop but didn't see it sufficient to leave us there. And if this sounds lofty, I want to remind you that God is not discouraged by our sin and our failure. Let me say that again. God is not discouraged by our sins and our failure. So when we reflect on being transformed or moving towards God in some kind of mystical way, I want to challenge us to rest in there. I know sometimes it can be difficult to rest in that. We all have our seasons on the mountaintop. But like in the next breath, just like Peter, we deny God out of fear. In the next moment, we cut the ear off of a soldier. And then right after that, we're proclaiming the good news to thousands of people. Today, Citywell, God is saying, I work in mysterious ways. Will you allow me to surprise you? Will you allow me to surprise you? Will you allow me to surprise you? It takes a lot of vulnerability and a lot of courage to be undone, to do a 180 in our lives. It takes a lot of courage. But we're calling today, and as we enter into the Lenten season, to trust that the one who sent us to the top to reveal himself in full splendor is the one that is walking down with us on the mountain to the gravesite and to reorient this whole place. It's not by our power and our will, but of God's. As I wrap up today, I want to read this poem. It was written by a bishop in the Catholic Church, and I find that it goes in the spirit of what we're talking about today. Will you pray with me? It helps now and then to take a step back and take a long view. the kingdom is not only beyond our efforts, it is even beyond our vision. We accomplish in our lifetime only a tiny fraction of the magnificent enterprise that is God's work. Nothing we do is complete, which is a way of saying that the kingdom always lies beyond us. No statement says all that could be said. No prayer fully expresses our faith. No confession brings perfection. No pastoral visit brings wholeness. No program accomplishes the church's mission. No set of goals and objectives includes everything. This is what we're about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces far beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything. And there is, in a sense, a liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for the Lord's grace to enter and do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are the workers, not master builders, ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future not our own. May it be, City Well, that we lean into this season and then we ask God, God, show me where I need to redo some expectations. Let's do a DTR. Let's define the relationship once again. Because God, I so desperately need you to do a work in me. I so desperately need you to do a work in me. So much of my own bondage is because my imagination, in a sense, is not oriented to yours. Yours is much bigger and much larger for all the brokenness that exists in the world. God, we need you now more than ever. Give us a great vision. Amen.